BT, Ronj, and Randy with you in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Our friend Patrick Risch is a busy man today, and he's got a lot going on. As a matter of fact, he's going to be on the Mina Kimes podcast for ESPN.com, and he is with us now on 101 ESPN. It's always good to talk to you, Mr. Risch, and thanks on this busy day for taking some time. How you doing?
I'm doing well. It's a crazy time, Randy.
It really is. And obviously, financially, it's devastating to a lot of people and a lot of entities and a lot of communities. And you've been doing financial impact studies for a long time. Let's start with the effect that a general NCAA first and second round has on a city like St. Louis.
Well, I think, Randy, you're looking at roughly 80% of the fans that were going to be here were going to be from outside of the St. Louis area, at least, especially if you had Kentucky and Illinois or Kansas or all three teams as a part of that 8-team pod. So, you know, you're talking about direct spending impacts on the lodging, retail, and everything else locally of anywhere between $15 and $30 million. And I think most of that's being felt by the restaurant and the hotel industry downtown.
Yeah, one of the hardest parts here too, Patrick, we knew what that tournament was going to look like. We knew the space there. But the overall idea of we don't know when sports are returning, I can't help but think about, we know players and owners, they're going to be just fine. They're going to be okay. But workers at the stadium, I'm talking about people, service workers that are there day in and day out. You talk about an economic impact, probably hits them the hardest.
It does, and one of the things I mentioned in the Forbes piece I posted earlier today is that if you look at the national average of what's the salary for these types of workers, it's usually in the mid-20s, which, you know, for a family of four, that's poverty line. So that's why you see a lot of these people working the same, working Bush, then working Enterprise, and now with the Battlehawks, maybe working the Dome. They need that income, and then when you throw in this one-off like an NCAA championship, you don't expect those every year. So when they're there, you latch onto it. And so, yeah, you absolutely feel for these folks because, as you alluded to, they're nowhere close to being as well off as owners and players.
Is it realistic for teams, for organizations to reimburse those people, the ones who are paid the least, like Mark Cuban is planning to do with his hourly employees? And I believe he said he wants to have something in place where maybe they have to go and volunteer in order to get that money back, but they have to do something for it, and he wants to make sure they are getting paid.
Well, it's a great sentiment. We wish we were all as wealthy as Mark Cuban to be able to do those sorts of things. I think what's probably more realistic for most teams is at least we could provide some kind of support where you're trying to direct these people, use your HR staff to maybe direct them to temp services in town and try to assist them that way. And, you know, again, if teams do have a reserve to be able to use some of that to soften the blow. You know, the one thing is we could say I'm 100% confident. You guys know that these NCAA championships, and this is not just March Madness, by the way, guys. This is wrestling and hockey and all of it across the board. Lots of cities like St. Louis right now are hurting because they're not going to be hosting an event. But my sense is that with this NCAA cycle, I think they've got these pods and regionals mapped out till, say, 2023. So my sense is that the NCAA will grant all of the host cities that were supposed to host this year the next available year, whether that's 24 or 25. That's my sense.
Patrick Risch from Forbes, the sports professor at WashU, with us on 101 ESPN. And Patrick, it's interesting because with Ballpark Village and Busch Stadium, that's the number one tourist destination here in St. Louis. More people come to watch the Cardinals than anything else. And a lot of speculation today that the baseball season will be reduced, truncated because of the delay to the start of the Major League Baseball season. How much can that affect the well-being financially of the city of St. Louis specifically?
Well, I think it's a great point, Randy, and I think that would really hurt because, you know, the big difference between baseball, especially in this city, and say the National Hockey League, is that most of the people that go to Blues games are from the St. Louis area, and so it's not really new money that's being infused into the overall region. Maybe some money coming into downtown St. Louis that otherwise wouldn't be there for people that live in the county that otherwise don't go downtown except for Blues games. But for the most part, people live in the region. But as for the Cardinals, 35%-ish, 35-40% of their 3 million plus that come to Busch Stadium every year are coming from outside of the broader St. Louis region. They're coming from, you know, 5% from Iowa, 5% from Kansas, 5% from Arkansas. So it adds up. And yeah, that's if you cancel 2-3 weeks of the season, they don't have the luxury of pushing their season back because of weather issues in November and December for baseball. Yeah, you're going to see some tax dollars lost if that's the route we go.
Yeah, I'm not sure if this is a quantifiable thing at all, but when I think about all of this revenue not being there, I'm wondering how long it takes to bounce back from something like that, like from a financial standpoint. I mean, is there any way to evaluate, like getting back to quote unquote normal? Is there a number that is normal?
Well, I mean, I think that the teams, if you're just suspending leagues, right, and you're able to not miss any games, though the attendance might not be as strong when you first come back because people are still going to be a little bit leery, I think you'll bounce back sooner. But when you start canceling games, especially if it's weeks at a time, that's an issue. Guys, I want to throw this at you real quickly. Someone asked me a question earlier today about the insurance implications of all of this, and I reached out to the general counsel of an NBA team that I'm familiar with. And he said, you know, look, most buildings and most arenas have insurance for business interruption, but that business interruption insurance is usually tied to property damage. So you can imagine that, interestingly enough, these force majeures that are in contracts that cover earthquakes and hurricanes, which usually do cause physical damage to property, ironically, the coronavirus is not causing physical damage to the property. So unless you have specific language that addresses, you know, illnesses and disease, then there could be issues on the insurance front to try to make up lost revenue.
Is there a league that'll be affected enough by this, depending on how long it goes? And it could be a month, it could be longer. Hopefully it's shorter than that, but it seems like it's going to be a while. Is there a league that is going to be the most adversely affected by this, where they're going to have a difficult time recovering?
Well, I would say the XFL. The XFL, I think, has enough money. Vince McMahon's going to put in $500 million, is putting in $500 million. He's doing that to make sure that it could sustain at least 3 years of existence and then see if things pick up. They were actually having a really – just overall, I know we were doing well in St. Louis, but overall the league was doing pretty well. I think had surpassed many people's expectations. Not that it still can't. Again, the benefit the XFL has is, you know, if there's a six-week, eight-week suspension, there's nothing to say that they can't complete those games over the summer if they get the scheduling figured out. But, you know, they've built some nice momentum, and unfortunately now the ball is dropped. So I'd say they're hurt, and of course the NHL – most of their revenue, a larger share of their revenue, comes from the gate instead of media. And so this is hurtful for them, but I don't see any teams folding, obviously, over this.
And, Patrick, speaking of some of the other entities, when you look at the NCAA, that's a huge chunk of money. Isn't that the biggest chunk of money, the NCAA men's basketball tournament, that the NCAA takes in every year?
It is, Randy. But, you know, again, what buttresses them a little bit here is the fact that I believe, and I'm just spitballing numbers here, last year's tournament was roughly $930 million in revenue, the March Madness. $770 million of that was from the media contract. So, you know, again, you ask, well, how do they make this up? Well, they'll just tack on another year to the back end of the contract, and that kind of makes things all good. But hey, people keep asking me, what's ESPN going to do in terms of program? Well, they listen to guys like you. We could talk more about the ramp-up when things come back. Hopefully they will within the next 4 to 8 weeks.
When you look at the business of sports, because we've talked about this from a healthcare standpoint, although not very educated, that's why we get smart people on to talk about it. We're trying to come up with like a comp of what we're seeing here. In a business of sports world, is there a comp to what we're seeing right now with the coronavirus?
Boy, that's a great question. And this is not a perfect comp, but you go back to this topic I was talking about a few minutes ago with insurance. There was a venue last year that had one or two games canceled or postponed, I should say, because there were riots outside the building. So even though there wasn't damage inside the building, because of some unrest that was going on in that particular city, they basically had to shut down events at the venue for that particular night or two nights because of the social unrest that was going on outside. But that's just very, very short term, and is not an earthquake or a hurricane. But boy, I can't think of anything else right now that that rivals this. This is truly unprecedented territory. And again, let's just knock on wood that things are going to stabilize in the coming weeks and months.
I have seen people who have compared it to the time around 9/11 when stuff was canceled. But when that happened at the time, if I remember right, there was always a sense that things were going to, probably within a week or two, everything was going to get back to normal in that sense. But how much worse is it in this particular instance because there is no idea when stuff's going to return?
Right. I mean, it's hard to quantify, but like you said, when all of that happened, I think we all felt confident that, you know, slowly but surely we're going to get back to some degree of normalcy and in the time frame that you mentioned, 1 to 2 weeks, where we could at least get back out there on the field. And of course, who could ever forget Jack Buck's eloquent poem that he read? I'll never forget that. It's one of my first few years here in St. Louis, and I heard that. But boy, you know, that's the problem, is we have this uncertainty. The medical profession is, I'm sure some of my colleagues over at Barnes Jewish and at WashU, working diligently on discovering what's going on and potentially cures for and anecdotes for this virus. There's the uncertainty factor. But again, I'm hopeful that with a lot of people out there far smarter than me in the medical profession, that they can you know, get us all back to a more stable place mentally.
And finally, Patrick Risch, the director of the sports business program at WashU. It was announced yesterday that the semester is going to be played out online. Will that be difficult for you?
I could be lecturing to an empty classroom and then just recording it. Actually, ironic that you asked me that, Randy, earlier today. So Zoom technology is a pretty popular technology that people use for video conferencing all over the world. And of course, you can use it in education. So we're actually very lucky. You know, in our industry, we're probably one of the few industries that, even though we have to change the way we deliver the content, we can still deliver the content. I can send them articles. I can send them PowerPoints. They're still able to get work done. They can submit their assignments online. But, you know, just going back to the thing we're talking about, so many other industries, like I've got a friend locally in the video game business where, you know, Golden Tee, right? Well, guess what? His business is hurt because there's not as many visitors and people aren't going to sports bars. How about all the people that work production, event production, and the engineers of these events? They're out of work right now. So we're lucky in academia. We have a fairly relatively minimally impacted, we can still deliver our content.
Patrick, if your Golden Tee buddy needs some work, I need an update in my basement. I'll send you a message.
I will relay the message. I will hook that up.
I will send you a message.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Patrick. Great to have you with us, and I'm sure we'll talk again here in the near future.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Take care. That's the great Patrick Risch joining us here in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. He's the director of the sports business program at WashU, and he has a new book called They Shoot, They Score! So that's what Patrick has going on.
Like hockey.
Yeah.
Yeah.